from Anshe Svar Beth El Emeth Congregation, it's time to take 10 Minutes for Torah with Rabbi Joel Finkelstein.
Welcome to our discussion of miracles and belief, Parshat Shoftim. In Parshat Re'eh, in Parshat Shoftim, there is a discussion about prophets, and the question is, how do we know if it's a true prophet or not? How do we know if it's something that God did not speak? What do we do? So in Parshat Re'eh, it says that if you should have a prophet who gives you a sign, then if the sign is to tell you to worship other gods, then clearly it is not correct. So the fact that he brings a sign, he does a miracle, it doesn't have any effect. It's just a test. In fact, Rambam takes the position that the whole idea of Christianity was a test to see if Jews would stay with God despite the miracles that presumably the founder of Christianity performed. In Parshat Shoftim, it says that that if he tells you to do something, something against the Torah, you can't listen to that person. Clearly, Moshe is the chief prophet. No one is going to say something against Moshe. There's only one God. If God says yes, he can't say no tomorrow. So clearly, that prophet is wrong, a false prophet. Obviously, if he speaks in the name of another God, clearly, that's not true. And if the, of course, if the miracle that he said would come true doesn't come true, then clearly it's not true. Now, Rashi over there says, well, what if the prophet says to do something against God? He says, well, once in a while, there could be a prophet who's a man of God, and he feels that in a particular circumstance, he needs to go against the Torah. For instance, Elijah the prophet, Eliyahu Navi, on Mount Carmel, in Har Carmel, brought sacrifices, even though he wasn't in Jerusalem. There was a standing temple in Jerusalem. It was during the temple period, first temple, and he was bringing a sacrifice on Mount Carmel. Not allowed to do that. But it was only for that moment. Now, how do we know the difference between a true prophet who at the moment decides to do something against God, against the Torah, and a false prophet who is trying to sway you away from the Torah? So Rashi says that if you know he's known to be a big tzaddik, he says that's different. If he's a mumche, he's known as an expert to you, that he's a tzaddik gamur, he's a completely righteous person, then you still believe him, even though he's slightly going against Torah. However, the Ramban says, that's ridiculous. He says, it's not because he's so righteous that a lot of people can be righteous. It's because he's muchsak lakol mashehikdim le'moratitos. Uvo, he says the fact that he had miracles that came before and they came true, so he's been established as a prophet. Once someone's been established as a prophet, that shows that, to the best of our knowledge, he continues to be a prophet, even though he may make some minor violation, as Elijah did. Now, of course, this Ramban sort of implies that it's those miracles that really seal the deal, that make us believe. But Rashi says no. Rashi says it's the righteousness that makes you believe. However, the Rambam adds another factor. Not just righteousness, not just the fact that he's established as a prophet, but also something else. The Rambam, of course, is a philosopher, an intellectual, and he believes that in order to be a prophet, you have to be a great scholar. So the Rambam writes in Hilchos Yesodei Torah that Hov Adam Gadol v'Chacham Vaday l'Nevuah Hu Amid Moso Ra'ul l'Nevuah. Since he's someone who's fit for prophecy. In other words, prophecy is not a surprise. Not that someday, all of a sudden, your barber, your shoeman, all of a sudden he wakes up and he's a prophet. No. By definition, the prophet is someone who's a great scholar. He's someone who's worthy of prophecy. Now, yesterday you also thought he was worthy of prophecy. For instance, the Rambam, you would say, the Rambam, Rav Kook, these people were people worthy of prophecy. If then they told you they were prophets, then you would believe it. And also, if he previously had a chazaka had established that he was a prophet. But it's not because of miracles, it's because of his being a tzaddik, according to Rashi, being according to Rambam, being worthy of prophecy, a chacham gadol, he is a gadol v'chacham, he's a great man and a great prophet or a great woman. Now, what about the Mashiach? If indeed miracles are important, then maybe when the Mashiach comes, he has to do miracles. So I'm not sure, I have to check what the Rambam would say. But the Rambam was more of a rationalist, not so dependent on miracles. He says, nothing doing. There's the Mashiach, the Messiah has nothing to do with miracles. We're not going to believe the Messiah because he does miracles. How do we know that? Because once upon a time, there was a false Messiah. Or there was someone who would be Messiah, someone who could have been Messiah. His name was Bar Kokhba, Bar Koziva. And Rabbi Akiva supported him. Did Bar Kokhba do any miracles? Says the Rambam, no. And yet he thought he was a Mashiach. So we see the Mashiach doesn't have to do miracles. We don't believe in him because he does miracles. We believe in him because he's worthy of doing so. Now, this Rambam can be somewhat challenged because the Gemara says that we did challenge Bar Kokhba. And they tell a story that they asked Bar Kokhba, can you judge by your nose? Rabbis interpret the verse in Isaiah that it's not just that he judges with the spirit of his nose, but through smell. And they asked him, can you judge who's right, two litigants, who's right, this one or that one, based on smell? And he couldn't do it. So they killed him. According to the rabbis, they killed Bar Kokhba. It's an interesting story, whatever it is. But the point is that there is a Gemara, that there is a Talmudic passage that seems to say that they required a miracle of some sort from Bar Kokhba. But according to the Rambam, no. That's just a story. I don't know how he deals with that. According to the Rambam, no. He never did any miracles, and you could still be a Messiah just as well without any miracles. As a matter of fact, we have to get back to the core point, and that is, when we say we don't believe in this one and that one, this prophet or that prophet, because we believe in the Torah. What makes us believe in the Torah? We believe in the Torah because we believed in Moses. What made us believe in Moses? So the Rambam says it wasn't because of miracles. Now again, you could argue, you could say, what do you mean? The one who split the sea, changed his staff into a snake and back, changed the water into blood, brought the leprosy on his hand and took it away. The one who brought the 10 plagues, split the sea. You're telling me that he wasn't believed because of miracles? Doesn't it say they believed in Moses splitting the sea, and they believed in God and Moses is his servant? But the Rambam says no. The Gam B'chayim Aminu Olam, that when they hear, the Jews hear me talking to you, they will believe in you forever. So it was the fact that Jews heard B'davri Imach, when God was talking to Moshe, they saw, they heard Moses hearing the words of God, that he was talking to them, he was talking to Moshe, he was talking to us. We heard the first two commandments, of all 10 commandments, different views. We heard those commandments. So therefore, we know, we don't believe, we know that God spoke to Moses, that God spoke to the Jewish people. So therefore, our belief in Moshe is not because of miracles. So therefore, no one can undo Moses' prophecy through miracles. Because miracles wasn't the basis of my faith to begin with. The basis of my faith is that I know it. I saw it. Now, of course, I wasn't there personally. Spiritually, I was. But personally, I wasn't there. I believe the stories that my fathers told me, that their fathers told them. It eventually goes back to Moses himself. We are, after all, the descendants of the followers of the Jewish religion, which goes back, and it was no disruption from Moses till today. And we've always told this story that we saw the word of God directly communicate to Moshe and the Jewish people. So therefore, our belief doesn't come from miracles. So you can't have some miracle worker who's going to undo the Torah, who says, oh, listen to me, I'm God. Listen to me, there's another God. Listen to me, you have to do this mitzvah, that mitzvah, go against the Torah, add things to the Torah, subtract the Torah. You can't have someone like that. Why not? Because the whole basis of the Torah is because I know. I'm going to listen to this person who claims to speak to God. I saw God speaking directly to Moshe. That's why I believe in the Torah. Someone wants to contravene that, they would have to show me that they're speaking to God. And short of that, I'm not going to believe anything. Because short of that, I am grounded in my knowledge, not belief, that God spoke to Moses. So according to the Rambam, the relationship between belief and miracles is more or less no relationship at all. Ramban, maybe a little different. Ramban seems to imply that through the miracles, the prophet is established as a great prophet. However, according to this purest view of the Rambam, we do not believe in Torah, in God, because of any kind of miracles. We shouldn't feel wistful that how come there are no miracles anymore. We never believed in Judaism because of miracles. Our belief is grounded, it's one of the few faiths in the world, it's grounded in a reality, the reality of story that we know to be true from our ancestors, that God spoke to our people directly. And therefore, nothing can sway us from this, not just belief, this fact of our communication with God, our knowledge of God, our knowledge that God is a moral God, God spoke to the Jewish people. And this is the premise of all faith, of all morality, that God has spoken it, and we know it, we don't just believe it. So, our relationship between belief and miracles, according to the Rambam, there is no relationship. Our belief in God is founded on reality, on knowledge, and not on miracles. Thanks for joining us here at the Anshei Sfarad Beth Lemeth Congregation for our discussion of the Parsha. Join us each week for the discussion of the Parsha, the holidays, how-to videos, and more. And thanks to Jason Lefkowitz, our producer. Thank you.
This has been 10 Minutes for Torah with Rabbi Joel Finkelstein. To learn more, visit asby.org.